Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a dissection of social and cultural issues relevant to gay men.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Follow us on Instagram or Twitter, or join our community on Facebook by searching The Gays Are Revolting.
And support the show and access all of our aftershows and live streams at patreon.com/gaysrevoltingpod.
Hello, lovely boys. How are you?
I wish we were being in the studio. We're back on.
Yeah.
We're back online.
Back on house arrest.
There's the second wave happening.
Scary times for us Victorians. Bloody hell. Yeah. Being segregated from the rest of Australia.
I just wanted to say thank you to everyone at the LGBT community for being so articulate. And did you guys see that Britney Spears? You guys articulate everything. Yeah.
I know,
do.
And people are like ripping her apart. Oh, it's so funny. She's so random.
It is true, though. We articulate everything we do.
Yeah.
She's on something. Her eyes are crazy.
I love it.
The four of us created a podcast just so we could further articulate the things that we do.
So that we could encourage gays to better articulate.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't in the show last week because I had some dental issues and I ended up having my tooth pulled out. So I've been living the high life on Panadol.
Oh, like literal high.
Are you high as a kite right now, Mikey?
Yes. No, I thought I would be sober for the episode tonight.
Boring.
Give our fans what they want.
Yes.
Teeth.
Teeth.
Just in an envelope. So a lucky Patreon subscriber will get the tooth that was removed.
Anyone that signs up to our Patreon at the $30 tier receives one of my
You're going to start
teeth.
Pulling teeth.
No, gross. Ew, no one wants that.
Oh my gosh, I've been balls deep in The Last of Us 2. It is so good.
Oh, yuck.
It is so,
Kyle,
so good.
You can't say balls deep in a game about a teenage girl. Jesus.
She's not a teenage girl. How dare you? No, but it's so cool to see like a AAA game, like a mainstream game, and it's like centers around like a lesbian relationship, and it's like super gay friendly in a post-apocalyptic world. It's really, really cool. I was exploring it. I was exploring like an abandoned bookstore the other day in it, and there was like gay flags and like gay erotica novels like strewn all over the place. I'm like, this is the best.
So good.
Here's a question, Kyle. Do you avoid killing the dogs in The Last of Us Part 2? This is a moral quandary.
Oh, yeah, well, look, I have to kill them. It's horrible. I felt so bad. I did it for the first time yesterday, and it did not sit well with me. But at least they're not cats.
Fair enough.
Any gay gamers out there that listen to our iPod, definitely go online on Metacritic and stuff like that. Support games that promote queer content.
Yes.
Can I say,
are being review bombed on Metacritic purely for having...
It's so upsetting. Know, I see it happen so much on my Facebook feed and stuff. And then people, I guess, as a mean kind of thing they do, they laugh react to like anything with like a gay related like game or something like that. Mm. And like, yeah, they're just trying to like offset and they're saying this game bombed, this game sucks. But like from the critics, it's getting like 10 out of 10 and stuff. But
it
like
is purely,
purely because of their like homophobia, they are like not enjoying a game that they've like loved before. And it's really frustrating. So I make like a big effort to go in and like everything, like love, heart, everything, and kind of just try to outbalance those jerks.
If we still had the Pride react, that's what I'd be doing.
Yes, rainbows remember everywhere. That?
I have some exciting news from the past 2 weeks, but
what are you doing?
I want to make sure you guys be sitting down because you might trip over and then the rest of the iPod if you're standing up and you fell over.
Oh, damn.
I have some exciting news in that I am sort of dating someone.
Oh,
hello.
Are you?
That's so exciting.
They're real cute. I really like them. Their name, I won't say their name. Their name is not.
This is their address. Here's their phone number.
Before we get into like actual topics, this is how I know it's a decent match, right? Mm-hmm. Because we had a cute date and we got quite drunk and he stayed the night. And, you know, adults only.
Did it just, like, pan away and then you wake up the next morning, like, in every in every family movie?
We woke up like Siamese twins, like, he was stuck to my back, you know what I mean? It was lovely. But then I was doing a live stream the next night and I forgot it was a live stream. So, obviously, I get up on the microphone and it's like, you can have 20 people in bars now, so there's a audience and I'm like, oh my god, guys, so let me be telling you about this guy what I had sex with last night. Let me tell you what every little detail with this date, because I got so carried away by the crowd attention I forgot it was being streamed. And then I went back into the green room and grabbed my phone and it was text from him that were like, ha ha ha, I'm watching your live stream, bitch.
Oh my god. But he took it well.
That's good. I mean, he took it well the night before too.
Lol.
JK. Looks about him.
Yeah, that's common. Anyone that's been in a bathroom in Melbourne knows that I'm like, oh, bottom. It's been like 4 or 5 dates now, and we watched Murder Show. He gave me a hat that says Chemist Warehouse on it, which is
now that's love. That's
more
that's
interesting than that stupid story, though, is later on we'll actually have an interview with George Folks Taylor, and they're doing some pretty queer stuff over in Western Australia. So it's going to be I love talking to people that are outside of Melbourne, get a bit of a different view.
Yeah, it must be nice to be outside of Melbourne at the moment.
For
our international listeners, Melbourne is in Victoria, and Victoria has gone back in its
restrictions.
Yeah,
we've become the most infected state in Australia. So
yeah, so everyone thinks we're the boogers of this country. So we can only have 5 people in our homes now instead of 20, whereas the rest of the country can have 20 people.
Boo to us.
Boo. But in this week's after show, we'll also be looking at some ways prostate cancer affects men who have sex with men.
Yes, it's going to be a very interesting talk. I actually learned quite a bit.
Oh my god, same.
I'm very interested to talk about it with you guys. But yeah, I guess let's jump on into it, shall we?
This episode we're going to talk about there's some trouble brewing in Hogwarts. Hermione, she better don't I don't know. It's a weird time. The world is in a very strange place. We're all going through it, and it feels like every other day somebody's getting cancelled.
Yeah, it really does.
So it's been hard to ignore the blatant kind of tone deafness of a recent tweet published by formerly beloved J.K. Rowling, or J. Now they call it like J. Karen.
Oh my god!
Karen's become such a thing now.
This story actually sort of began last year in December 2019 for anyone that wasn't following, and it kind of blew up then, but not to the extent of what's happened in the last few weeks. So JK threw a bit of support behind a woman in the UK named Maya Forstater. Her job contract was not renewed and was given the feedback that, you know, she had posted some transphobic comments online and her viewpoints weren't aligned with the you know, she just she lost her, she basically didn't get renewed because of some transphobic comments that she made, and she took them to court. And she lost.
Well, good.
Yeah. Which is
talk straight up, you should lose.
And J.K. Rowling actually threw support behind this person. Hashtag I stand with Maya. Don't cut that out of context and make it sound like I'm saying that
I am. Oh my God, Luke, do you stand with Maya?
What are you saying?
don't be doing that. somehow this tweet seeped back into the background of public consciousness. Even in the show when we were talking about Harry Potter a few weeks ago, remember? And we were all like, did she really say transphobic?
Yeah, did she say
that? It's been a few things that's trickled in over time. Like, I think once she liked a status and then she claimed that it was like old age, like she just, her finger slipped and she liked this like transphobic like Twitter thing or like, I don't know. But now she's really... really seems to be doubling down.
Well, this is more like a quadruple down. If you take the timing, so what's happened most recently, a few weeks ago, she shared an article that was about women's rights and had some correctly inclusive language, and she retweeted it with a transphobic statement about how, you know, what is this? Yeah. There isn't, wouldn't there used to be some word for Wimble?
Oh,
for
women?
Which is terrible in itself, but the fact that someone with a platform as large as JK neglected to sort of take into context the fact that this was at the height of the Black Lives Matter protests. During a global pandemic, and it was, I think, the first week of Pride Month as well.
Yes, literally, why make these comments now? Like, if you're gonna do it then, you better like expecto patronum some fucking backlash, JK.
Her patronus would be a Karen. What it is?
It would be.
Expecto, I want to speak to a manager.
It would be a Karen with a car sitting in front of you, God. Not letting you move. That's what it would be.
My kids can't hear you because they're listening to Kids Bop.
calm down. It seemed almost inflammatory to make a statement like that at that time. So the internet obviously said, hey, let's calm down here.
Yeah.
You're being a little turfy. In response, she published on her website a 3,500-word essay that was full of common turf rhetoric. What is an interesting can of worms that has opened up from this, because a lot of the statements in her essay were saying, you know, calling me a turf is sort of this hate speech that you're throwing towards me and throwing towards women. And a few nights after that essay was published, I was sitting at a bonfire with one of my closest friends who is like, and who's taught me the world. I've talked about it a few times, Ilona, who's taught me the world about feminism, she's a third wave feminist. And the interesting thing was hearing about how common turf ideas are, particularly in Britain and in the UK, and within a certain demographic of people, which is this slightly older female demographic. Have either of you seen the weird article about the dipping pond in the UK?
No.
It's bizarre. So it ties into this quite well. It was, I think, a few years ago, a trans woman had used, they have these dipping ponds. They're like, you ever see the movies where people jump in the snowy water and they... But they're gendered.
Yeah.
So there's like a men's one and there's a women's one, and they're quite affluent. They're for the sort of middle to upper class to use. Yeah. And they kicked up quite a stink because someone that to them was presenting as quite male was using the female pond. And it got blasted all over their tabloids, their newspapers. They actually did a protest and dressed as men and went into the other things that you would shake your head at and go, I can't believe how hurtful, damaging, and dangerous these ideas are to widely broadcast. But they did it. They had signs, you know, men should, that's a man in a dress, doesn't belong over here. And it's so strange that a culture can, you know, a pretty progressive culture in a lot of other ways seems to be quite backwards in a very particular area.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have thought.
I do find that so strange because she's always kind of come across as someone who would be quite woke and like very intellectual and smart. And like the fact that she like made Dumbledore gay and like put gay characters and stuff in her book. So you would think that. And then it seems so weird that she's having such issue with this small part.
Yeah. What I think was frustrating to read though was that she was just like, oh, I'm not transphobic. I have a trans friend and I know this trans person. Yeah. Like, we can't give them rights for male presenting trans people to come into a female change rooms and just change their gender marker on their birth certificate so that they're female. And it's like, no, that is not what's happening here. And there's no proof of any of that whatsoever. Just because someone identifies as trans and doesn't want to have any surgeries or any hormone therapy does not mean that they're not trans. Like, you can't stand there and say that all these predators are going to come out of the woodworks now. And it's like, well, no, that's not what's going to happen. Like, shut and up, then, you close-minded fool.
I do like that all the stars of the movies are actually talking out about it. Like, Daniel Radcliffe said, like, a really nice long message just saying, like, don't let it taint your view on the books and your childhood. Like if you connected anything in the storybook, like, let that be between you and the book. Like, if you thought a character was gay or trans, like, keep that with you. Yeah, because I think a lot of people even getting their tattoos removed and stuff, like the Harry Potter
tattoos. So I reckon
absolutely.
I do have a love for the series that I don't think I can get over because it was a big part of my childhood.
Well, that's fine.
And I was reading a trans person who had quite a big tattoo and then saying that they wanted to keep it because the books were such an escapism for them and like the whole thought of like Polyjuice Potion really like had this big effect on them because the thought of like being able to just change what you were like on the outside and everything really resonated with them. And so I think it's really important to, if you connect in a way like that, to not do your childhood a disservice. And so many people came together for it, and it wasn't just a Her thing. Like, I think it's actually become like bigger than Her, and like the cast are all like good people, so it's like different, I would say, if like everyone to do with the thing was like these hateful bastards. But like, they're all good people, and so
I think the more critical of an eye you put towards this beloved series, the shittier it looks. Like, I remember screaming black and blue at people and getting shut down a lot when I said, this is a book that includes one Asian character that's basically named Ching Chong.
Yeah, literally.
It's literally like a portmanteau of two completely different Asian cultures, Cho Chang, she's the one. And I went, this lady's...
she's from Scotland. What do you mean?
I ain't never going to trust a white lady like that. I think the difference too is now it's indisputable where her values and ideas lie. And if you continue to support the work that this, but she's publishing right now, that's a different.
Look, no story. New media. I'm fine, but
childhood memories are childhood memories. But the way these really dangerous ideas can slip through, like honestly, like the first time she tweeted this shit in 2019, is people say, but I really love this thing, so I'm not going to think too critically about it because I don't want to tarnish my, you know, like, at the same time, and I fully agree and understand where people are coming from with this, we cannot give a free pass or not look at things critically because we have a nostalgic connection, because that's what happened in 2019 and she came back, tripled down on it. And if you look at some of the loudest voices of this turf sort of strain, you will sort of see the Germaine Greers and they're all from this exact same demographic of like their experience is so radically different from our own.
Absolutely.
That it's so hard as a gay man to come to a middle ground or an understanding of one another, of a woman, you know, someone whose life has been absolutely different and their experience has been absolutely different.
So yes,
people like Germaine Greer have very strong opinions and they're entrenched from years and years of lived experience. I'm not saying that it's right. I absolutely do not agree with anything. One of our listeners, James, who we met at Mardi Gras, he's incredible, shared this post where they've started calling it, like, instead of transphobia, they're calling it trans antagonism. Because it's
not
less
transphobia
of,
it's transphobia.
It's less of an actual fear of trans men and women. It's an antagonistic, we want you out, and we will misgender you, and we will call you a man in a dress, and we will act in an antagonistic way that if you treated any other person, let alone one of the most vulnerable and exposed communities in the world, you would say, you're being a bit of a fucking dick.
Yeah, totally.
If anyone went out there and tried to find a police record of a trans individual undergoing any sort of gender assignment in order to gain access to a female public space in order to abuse a woman, you wouldn't find a record of that because
happened. That argument is so strange to me that they think that there's like going to be men in their bathrooms like abusing them and stuff. I'm like, what trans person is going to be in a bathroom trying to make your life hell or like trying to sexually assault you or anything? Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
There's just so many claims in this essay that are just factually incorrect. The fact that if she was born 30 years later, she may have opted to become a male because it's an easier lifestyle. And it's just like, well, that's not what happens with trans people. They're born in the wrong body. It's not just like, oh, you know what? This is too hard. I'm just going to swap gender because it's easier, you know? Like, and she's saying that all these people are going to start regretting it. And it's like, you can't say these things without the facts. Like, you are just making shit up now. Like, don't make shit up without facts.
Any of our trans siblings that have undergone gender affirmation surgery, talk to them about how long, laborious, and arduous the process was. It is not something, it is not like getting a fucking haircut. You cannot just on a whim decide, because they do actually make you undergo a very long process. And anyone with lived experience in that area will tell you so, that argument is just pure fiction.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today we're joined by artist, photographer, and activist George Folks Taylor, all the way from, believe it or not, Western Australia.
Wow.
Thanks for joining us remotely by the wonders of the internet.
Thank you. I'd rather stay COVID safe from all of you.
Don't be that way.
We've got no beef, George. You and I have no beef. It's South Australia.
The shade. Oh, you can stay. So, George, you created the group Cal Queers, a meetup for LGBT plus people in regional WA. Why did you start this group?
A bit out of necessity, I suppose. Like, we were at a workshop one day and I really had been meaning to create something like Cal Queers for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I have like the authority to do this really. And then I was in a room one day and the workshop coordinator was like, why is there no group? There's no organization or group or like social group or place or anything in the Goldfields for queer people to meet up.
Yeah.
Why is this the case? And I was like, I was going to make a group. I don't know. And she was like, what about just do it? And I was like, yeah, all right. And I had two other people in the room and I was like, would you join if I made a group right now? And he said yes. And then a girl said yes. And I was like, cool, three of us. Excellent.
That's all you need.
Yeah, it just spiraled from there and kind of exploded pretty quickly, which was really good.
Because the demand must have been there. I'm so happy that you're joining us this week on the show, because a lot of our listeners, every time we be doing a live stream, one of the questions that pops up all the time is, what can I do as a like living in a remote town? And you grew up in Kalgoorlie, which is a mining town, 30,000 people. That's a different experience that Kyle and I don't really have. What was it like growing up questioning things like your gender identity, your sexuality in such a remote area? And I know a lot of our listeners are really keen to hear that voice because they might be experiencing something really similar.
Yeah, definitely. And I really didn't realize that being gay was an option, really. And I would say that with, like, my mum grew up in London and she is super progressive and my dad's pretty accepting as well. And so I wasn't like I was purposefully hid from queer content or something, but I just saw none of it. I didn't see anyone in Kalgoorlie that I knew was like visually queer.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, it was this thing that I had from a very young kid, like, I'm not like other girls. Like I didn't understand what that meant because I didn't think that I was a boy either. And I wasn't sure why there was like such strict rules about gender and sexuality as well. Like I didn't really understand that. I was like, I didn't fully understand why there was this order of things, and that didn't sit right with me because obviously that's not how I was feeling, you know, that wasn't how I was identifying. So I would say, like, overall it's a pretty conservative place, but I would say that the majority of people here are like begrudgingly accepting or like tolerable of queer
that's
people.
Amazing way.
Like, definitely the most people would be like, oh, it's all right, as long as you don't sort of see too much of it, it's not too flamboyant or something, or it's not too overt. But and there's definitely, you know, quite a few people that are real progressive champions here. And then there's also a big cohort of people that are very, very conservative that sort of don't agree with the whole system.
Yeah.
Like, even through high school, I went to an all-girls school. That was like a really strict thing about gender expression, and like sexuality. Yeah, there was like maybe one girl who we all thought might be gay, but, you know, that was like it was definitely known as a bad or not good thing. Like, you would come out with a husband at the end of it and you would be a good girl. So
did you feel a bit like a frontier person bringing these like queer ideas into Kalgoorlie? Did you feel like, you know, the rainbow person at the front of that?
Like, no, I'm bringing but 100% waving my flag, like running down the main street.
Absolutely.
It actually was a bit like that because, like, as I said before, there was no queer group or place, like, at all. There was definitely nothing like visually queer. There's no like shop, which is like a little hippie shop with like a rainbow sticker on the front window or anything like that. Like, so I was like, I literally like was looking around being like, fuck, maybe this is actually up to me. Like, maybe I'm the one that has to do this. And we have this thing and it's like same as lots of country towns where you have to have kind of been there for several generations to be a real local. So I was like, I was born in Kalgoorlie Hospital and grew up here and like people knew my family. So I was like, maybe I'm in a position of like a white, I'm like femme passing, you know, I was like, I already had a good standing as like a community member. So I was like, maybe this is my job to like use be like the most loud queer person that I can be.
I love that.
Without a physical place to meet other queer people, how do you think like having this visible queer group benefits all the residents in small country towns like outside of Kalgoorlie as well?
Yeah, it's just like this sense of, I suppose, not being so isolated. Like, Kalgoorlie is one of the most isolated cities in the world. I think before Cal Queers was born and before we started having events and stuff like that, you know, I knew my queer friends in Cal, a couple of queer friends, and I knew that there's probably a few others that I didn't know. But really, we started having events and like the first event was four people. The second event was heaps. The second event was like, I think we had like 35, the second event.
Oh, that's great.
I think there's like 80 or maybe even 100 people in the actual group. So like for us to even know that there was this much of a community in Kalgoorlie was huge because we suddenly thought like if something ever happened to me in public, chances are there might be someone around who would have my back, where I previously didn't think at all. Like I did not necessarily have the confidence of knowing that someone else would have my back. Even during, and like this is all, like I started Cal Queers after this same-sex marriage legislation. So, you know, that was super isolating. And I think it's just about visibility. It's that sense of community And like, we don't have like millions of events that we have on, but we've got this Facebook group where people can ask questions and comment on stuff and, you know, share events. Like if there's an event that we all want to go to or like a new thing we want to try, like someone will post in there, like, let's all go, you know, have a beer at the brewery because they've got a special on or whatever. Like, it's like relaxing to have queer friends because they kind of get it, your foundation a bit before you have to sense start explaining yourself. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine the impact it would have, or the how granted we take it here in a liberal city like Melbourne, those rainbow stickers on stores, that's such a like code.
I love seeing that. Yeah, it's
such a code that reinforces that, hey, it's okay, just in a very passive, non-verbal way. It lets a queer person know you're okay, you're validated, you exist, and you exist outside of, you know, your own personal self. And to live somewhere where that level of just visibility doesn't exist, full stop. You don't have those little visual cues telling you that you were part of a community that exists beyond your family or town. And so I think that's, yeah, just really beautiful that, sorry, it's a bit of a tangent, but it just...
No, absolutely. No, I'm like nodding along with you, Luke, because you're so right. And when I travel to somewhere like Melbourne or Sydney and there's like queer-friendly cafes and like places to go and like there's like a mural, like in Sydney, you know, there's like a mural of like two men both wearing wedding suits.
Yeah.
Like, and that is like actually feels a bit overwhelming for me to go somewhere like Sydney or Melbourne and have that like very visual exposure to queer culture and like very prominent and like
That level of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Of acceptance, so that you're literally like walking around feeling safe because someone somewhere is going to have your back and is on your side. Whereas, I mean, I did another thing that I did was like buy a heap of little rainbow flag stickers off eBay, you know, get like 50 of them and like walk up and down the main street and go into shops and ask people if they wanted to put them on, because I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, and everyone that I asked was, there was a few places that I avoided, but everyone that I asked was like, yeah, we'll put one of these on the window. And I was like, you know, this means that if someone comes in and you think that they shouldn't be looking at the men's clothing, that you just don't make a big deal about it or try and be like, oh, is this for your boyfriend or whatever. Like, I sort of talk to people about it as well, about what it, if they were going to stick it on their window, this is what it means that you have to do. Like, you have to be.
That's great. That's really good that you actually spoke to them and explained the whole situation. So I'm just dishing out a whole lot of little rainbows.
Yeah. So people, so that you could like walk in and you knew that you were going to be, even like a little bit, like it wasn't like a full cultural competency course, but it was just,
I mean, just any little bit.
So we're gonna sit down for the next 6 hours because I got a few things that gotta be running through with you.
Training for you.
I think it's not until you hear it in this context you realize that sometimes the smallest of gestures actually can change someone's entire worldview in an instant, and that's kind of like blowing my mind a little bit.
I mean, from like handing out little rainbow stickers to, you ran a Yes campaign for the marriage equality in the pronunciation of your town. Kalgoorlie. I'm foreign. Kalgoorlie. Okay. Kalgoorlie. Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, you ran a Yes campaign for the marriage equality in Kalgoorlie during the plebiscite. Was it like smooth sailing, or like did anyone kind of put up an opposition?
And just on the pronunciation, Kalgoorlie is a local Woongatha word from Galgala, which means is like a silky pear that's like native to this area.
Awesome. I don't think I can say any of those things, but I will try. I will attempt.
You're doing amazing. The plebiscite was a really like a terrible, terrible time. And when I like talk, I get so upset when I talk about the plebiscite, because for me, like, obviously I'm happy that everyone can marry who they want to marry. Like, I'm stoked about that. I fought really hard for that to happen. But for me, the cost of that plebiscite was too high. Like, the lives that were lost as a direct or indirect result of the plebiscite happening, that process, like, we wanted that piece of legislation to pass, but the process in which it happened was the there was a massive report that the federal government released afterwards about the impacts on mental health, specifically on LGBTQIA+ people, and it was damning, the report. It was like, this was a terrible idea. We should never have done it. We should have listened to the advice in the first place. And like in my circle of people, like I heard of 5 people taking their own lives as a result of, and that is, and like, I don't even like, you know, like you hear about, like you might hear about that occasionally, but like not that often, like not 5 people during the plebiscite, which was like a, you know, 3-month period. Like that's massive. And I know that that means that there was like so many others as well. Like, and that's like the end point. Like it was just too hard. And it was like the same thing again. Like no one seemed to be running a yes campaign in the goldfields. And I was getting that much shit in my mailbox that was just like not even No, it was like disgusting stuff. And I was like, imagine if little George came home from school one day and found 3 flyers that said, you are not worth, like your future relationships are not as valid as everybody else's. You're like less as a human being. And also like even some things that were like, you're disgusting and this is like the same thing as bestiality or whatever, that would have had such a terrible impact on me. So I was like, right, I'm gonna put some good letters in the mailbox. And like, that's like, I was like, there's got to be something, like we've got to have one voice at least saying, hey, Kalgoorlie, like if you want to vote yes, it's fine to vote yes. And also we would really encourage you to do that. So that's why I started it. And and had so many supporters as well, like with heaps of different community members. Like there were very, very few queer people that worked on the Yes campaign in Kalgoorlie. It was like largely like super strong allies that were like out flyering for me. We covered like almost every street in Kalgoorlie, it on Facebook and stuff as well. And I don't know, there's no way of knowing if it had any impact on the final outcome. And our electorate includes like a lot of other towns as well. So, at least I did my best, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think the cultural impact that it has is probably undeniable. It's so powerful hearing you speak about that time because it was a traumatic time. And I think in quite a few years down the track, we're going to look at the generational trauma caused by putting a discriminated community under a microscope and be debated about, because there are so many little Georges and little Kyles and little Lukes out there absorbing the rhetoric that's out there in the world and overhearing conversations between adults saying, I'm not going to vote for yes because they're going to be raw dogging my, do you know what I'm? We hear that and we absorb it and we internalize it, and it has an effect on us 20, 30 years down the track. And everything that the LGBT community did during that plebiscite, especially in remote areas where they needed those positive voices more than anything, is incredible, because what an embarrassing time for our country to look back on, even though the outcome, we did get a yes, but the cost of it that it's had on our community and the ramifications of the trauma years down the track is
definitely. And that, and for me, like that, especially like with all of our talk about Indigenous deaths in custody at the moment, like that makes me just think of like, because I've been having so many conversations with people being like, oh, I'm exhausted about like all this talk about like racism in Australia and like what we need to do to combat it, and you know, the Black Lives Matter movement. Like now that we're talking about the plebiscite now and like how traumatic and exhausting that was, it just makes me think about the impact on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians as well, like all the time though, with like overhearing these conversations and fighting for their right to have a vote, to be Canada's citizens, like, and like the impact of those pieces of legislation and conversations years later as well. Like, I don't mean to discount the trauma that our community experienced during that, but just to highlight that it's these things for us, we can have a break in between a little bit sometimes. Like at least we have a bit of a break until the next piece of legislation or the next conversation comes out. But for most Aboriginal Australians, that the conversation's kind of constant and it ramps up frequently. Yeah. Like,
it's quite a sobering thought. If you take how it felt for a member of the LGBT community and you extrapolate that feeling out over your entire lifetime and you get some, you know, nugget of how it may, like, you couldn't even begin. But the positive side of this is that there are people like George and there are platforms like our show where we can talk about these things and we can be a part of the positive voices out there that hopefully with time get a bit louder than the people putting disgusting things in letterboxes saying you're not welcome. Yeah. You know, our voices just need to be louder and better and funnier, and you know, we're obviously hotter, but
obviously
yeah, that's what's I think a really cool thing about the world right now is we have these platforms to amplify our voices. But what's also really cool is you work for the state government of Western Australia. Our show is called The Gays Are Revolting because we are anarchist punks. Well, I am trying to recruit Kyle. Do you see the, like, I always love the idea of queer communities being like inside agents. Do you see that as an opportunity working for state government to actually work from the inside to promote positive change for our communities?
Yeah, it does. And I love the way that you phrase it as well, because now I feel like I'm a secret agent for queer people.
Oh my God, you're like the
coolest person I've ever talked to.
I love it. No, and actually, like, there's been so many things, like, even with, like, HR documents when I first started, not having any, like, gender options, like having, like, a box male and female. And all it took for me to get that change was an email being like, hey, you might want to consider being a bit more inclusive on your gender, like you might have non-binary employees or like people that identify as something other than male or female. Maybe you should have a blank box there for people to write in, like. And it was the same, I was filling out that form at the same time there was like an inclusivity and diversity questionnaire, so that
include a gender option.
No, and they were like, do you identify as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, you know, to get their demographics of like what their employee. It was all optional questions. Like, do you identify as like as a diverse sexual or gender identity? Please write your name. Please write your gender, M or F. I was like, this is like,
oh boy,
you're kind of doing the right thing, but also you kind of miss the point.
Thank God you were there to point it.
Honestly, thank God for me and my existence. That's
my life. Well, that's kind of what I was going to say next. You're actually nominated for the 2020 West Australian Young Australian of the Year. Like, does it feel pretty good to be recognized for the work you're doing?
Yeah, it was
Did you have
amazing.
Like an Oscars moment?
Yeah. I was fully prepared. I had like blush silk blazer, which was
you got to turn a look for this.
Oh, yes, stand out.
I'm gonna stand up there and I'm gonna be photographed next to the governor looking so good. Like, I was like, plan this outfit out, but yeah, just so validating, Kyle. Like, it was like, I think maybe for most queer people, but for particularly like from my context of growing up in a small town,
totally,
and, like,
I
never know if the work that I'm doing is like meaningful or impactful or like worth anything. I'm just like trying to do what I think is the right thing to do and like doing things that I would like to see just before West Australian of the Year. And I didn't win WA Young Australian of the Year, but I was super happy to be there anyway. Yeah. But right before that, I was named as one of the 30 under 30 LGBTI role models. And so for a queer organization to be like, you're doing a great job and we think you're a role model, I was like, great, because I had no idea. Like, I didn't know if this was fine to do, because I was just going off me and my friends' opinions on like what we reckon.
Yeah. It is definitely nice to get that outside validation instead of being in like your kind of echo chamber of friendship group. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, well, you also, I think so many of us are trying to do the right thing in a increasingly boundaryless world, you know, like we're adapting to and being respectful and learning new concepts all the time now, because that's the world and that's a reflection of how life actually is.
Like, yeah, and for you guys, it's probably like someone that you meet one day and you say like, oh, I'm one of the people that present The Gays Are Revolting and like, I love your show or whatever. And for that's probably something for you guys to be like, oh, great. So like what we are doing is like worthwhile. And we need those little nods. And like it comes from the like such a variety of places. And like I've had such great people that have been supportive and stuff. But I think it just comes from this like very deep set feeling of responsibility to, especially with Kalgoorlie. I feel like I really don't want to, if I ever get a job, you know, well, when I like move on from Kalgoorlie, I don't want to just have been like, oh, I was fucking like cover was shit. Like,
yeah, you want to like leave it like with a good experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I had done something for the place that I grew up in because it's like it is worth fighting for, and I don't want to just leave Kalgoorlie and like have it be the same place that I grew up in, because that's not good enough for me for the next kid that grows up in Cal. Mm. Like,
you'll absolutely be leaving it better than it was.
Thank you. And I think that's something intrinsically a part of the queer identity, is this sense of responsibility to our siblings and our like the people we're passing the torch to. We've all experienced certain traumas to some extent, and I think it creates a sense inside of us that, hey, for the next generation, I want it to be a little bit easier for you.
Yeah, like if and for anything, like at a micro or macro level, like that's why I want to work in politics and like get this shit sorted, because I understand that as many little pride stickers that I can put on the front of shop windows, there's systemic, you know, legislative issues that need to change from the top as well. You know, that at some point will these grassroots and these like from the top things will meet in the middle, and we'll have like a super progressive and inclusive and great society for everybody. So yeah, my thing that I say to people always is like, and it's like the same thing, I mean, it's like kind of irrelevant, but this woman in Kalgoorlie, we've had conversations for years about there being no public art, like no murals on walls, everything. Like, it's just been this thing that's been going on for ages and ages, that there's also no like visual representation of the local Aboriginal people here. And so one day she was like, Parker, I'm going to have a public art festival. I'm going to put some murals on these walls. And she's like, we have like 70 murals in Kalgoorlie now.
Oh, so good.
George is so right. You will surprise yourself if you have a thought and you have a want and you have a need for something that doesn't exist yet and isn't there, that may actually be the sign that you're the person that needs to be doing it.
Or arrows point to me.
And you've got to be the person. And that's how all of these amazing things that we look at, and that's how the stickers end up in the windows that we look at and point at and go, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully people listen to that and we start doing this.
George, it's been a gosh darn delight chatting with you. How can people follow the work you do?
Yeah. So like I'm an artist as well. So you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Fleck Perry for my work account, and at G Folks Taylor for my personal account.
Oh.
You can follow me on Facebook as well. I would love that.
Great. Amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in, George. It's been so good chatting to you.
Thank you so much for having me and like letting me be part of this. And thank you for your cultural contribution to our community as well. It's really important stuff.
Oh. That is our episode for tonight. We had a great little interview, and we had a very interesting talk about TERFs and J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter. And stay tuned for our after show that's about to hit. We're going to be discussing prostate cancer and how it affects gay men.
Join our Patreon to gain access to that after
show. You should do that. And thank you for
give us your dollars.
dollars. Yeah.
Pick up a burger at Hungry Jack's.
Stop giving them free advertisement.
We are not sponsored. Cut that out. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my. How's your tooth?
'Boring, no flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.